Cabin Fever by Anna-Marie Kelber. Narrated by Bo Cox. Part 5. Complicated Caution. Late spring 1969. The cabin, Sunnyside, by the North Sea, had been inherited by Christian and his younger sister Bella, and had been kept as shared property. When Christian had been widowed and since remarried and divorced, and Bella had been widowed at a young age, it had seemed like an excellent solution to combine their living situations. Having a maid in the almost mansion-like villa in Aarhus had been unavoidable. None of them had time to take care of the house. Christian was an architect, and he was high in demand, and Bella had inherited her husband's company and chose to run it herself. People swore she would fail, but instead she had been incredibly successful. Their maid, Nook, was probably the reason for the dispute that had recently started. She was such a conscientious creature, and they had been happy with her for 12 years. But now Nook's mom had died, and the 33-year-old maid was utterly broken. The doctor called it a nervous breakdown and had ordained calm and kindness. "Fine," Bella said, for the 10th time at least. "She has to go back to Thailand where she's from. She probably has a giant family over there who can take care of her. She and her mother left Thailand when Nook was 14. She doesn't know anyone there anymore." "She gets letters," Bella said, and drummed her fingers on the table. "That's not the same as knowing," Christian said quietly. "I agree with Christian," Xenia said. She was visiting with Christian's stepdaughter, Ingrid. Christian discreetly referred to Ingrid and Xenia as housemates because they shared a cabin, but really they were much more than that. Christian was happy to see how love shone out of them. "I agree too," Ingrid said. "Oh, God, what's wrong with all of you?" Bella said, and stood up quickly and disappeared out of the living room. "Nook is a person, not a worn-out shoe," Christian said to Ingrid and Xenia. He felt that they appreciated his humanity. But what he neglected to tell them was that his attitude towards this was not just a reflection of being a kind boss, but rather because he cared greatly for Nook. The entire time she had been in Villa Pack, her face had always been kind and smiling, but otherwise very bland. A few times he saw a change in her, and her features came alive and were full of variation. It fascinated him, and he wanted to keep her out of harm's way and protect her, so the life he had seen on her face could reappear. He cared more for her than he imagined caring for a daughter, and he wanted to help her in her all-encompassing grief. He was unsure if she would let him, though. The following day he came home from work earlier than usual, and he found Nook in the kitchen. With puffy eyes, she was making dinner for him and Bella. He had brought donuts home. He knew Nook loved them, and after a bit of convincing, she sat down with him at the small table in the kitchen, had coffee, and ate one of the greasy cakes. "Are you feeling better, Nook?" he asked when she was swallowing the last bite. "Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Dahl," Nook said, and smiled her most bland smile. "Tell me about your mother," Christian said quietly. Nook looked frightened at him. I can't bear to think about her anymore," she tried, holding back the tears. "I don't have anyone anymore." "That's not true," Christian said. "There are people who care for you." She looked up. The brown eyes were dim. Just at that moment, the door to the kitchen burst open and Bella entered in an incredibly blue pantsuit. "Oh, for heaven's sake, Nook, haven't you finished dinner yet?" she yelled after looking sharply at the kitchen table and stove. "I'm sorry, Miss Erickson," Nook said, and accidentally pushed over her half-empty cup as she stood up. "Get a grip," Bella barked. Nook tried cleaning with her apron. "I'll take care of this," Christian said. "You can go."